3 weeks into a series called Taking the Land Together, and we're looking at God's Word, specifically in the book of Joshua, dealing with being together, being a relational church, having a community, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, what is God saying to us as a body? Where is God taking us? What is next? And becoming more unified than ever. It is us taking the land, but we're doing it together. Now, the week before Sean Smith, Pastor Brad spoke on the subject of choosing your kingdom companions. Now, let me just say this. If you miss Sean Smith, make sure you go back onto our back and listen site or onto our Facebook site and listen to that message. But I want to really encourage you to go back and listen to Pastor Brad's, if you missed it, dealing with choosing your kingdom companions. What an incredible look at it historically, looking at it in the scripture and how to apply it to our lives. And he asked 7 questions, but I just want to give you 4 of them in case you didn't hear this or you want to remember what he talked about. He asked the question, are you for the Lord and are you with the Lord? Is the Lord's echo in your heart? Are you in unity with God's people? And one of the other ones was, are you strong in pursuing alertness? So again, make sure you go and check out that message. Today, though, we are talking about go and tell me what you see. Go and tell me what you see. Joshua 2:1, let's get right into it. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim. Now, guys, the way it's written, that's about as close as you're going to get to cussing in Scripture. All right, and I was looking for other translations that didn't have Shittim in there, but guys, in other translations, it's known as Acacia Grove. Now, if I lived back in those days and I lived in this city and I was writing a letter to family up in Jerusalem and I live at 124 Canaan Boulevard in Shittim, no, I don't like that. I would rather be from Acacia Grove. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, that's where my head's going right now, so let me get right back in here to the scripture. So he says, go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. Now, to look over the land, if you look in other translations, it can be to see, to go to view, to go inspect it, to behold or scout, to explore or to search the land. All of this so that they could come back and tell Joshua what they had seen. And the way things are seen is really left up to the person and how the person interprets what he or she is seeing, what is being revealed about to. Now, before we show this picture, I just want to set this story up. We were in California about 2 weeks ago visiting my oldest son, Chase, and our daughter, Sky. Chase lives in the Hollywood Hills area, and Sky lives in Fresno working at a mega church out there in Fresno. And we went out there to spend time with them. So Sky drove down to the Los Angeles area and met us there, and we all went to Disneyland. So we're in Disneyland, we're having a great time, the whole thing, and we worked our way around to where the Fantasyland is or whatever, and we just got off the ride Pinocchio, and Lori goes, well, I got to use the restroom. I said, all right, well, go ahead, you know, and so she walked off, and so Chase and Sky are standing, and they go, Dad, we're going to go get on the carousel. I go ahead, yeah, we'll meet you as soon as it's over. And so I'm standing there, and then Lori walks back, and she goes, hey, where's Chase and Sky? And I said, well, they went to get on the carousel. Are you kidding me? I wanted to ride the carousel. And I go, well, babe, I go, you can. I go, look, they're right there. They're standing in the front. I said, you know, and I don't know if you've ever been to the carousel in Disneyland, but what happens is you get in line, and then they cattle you into this holding area and then shut the gate. And that's who gets to get onto the carousel. So my kids had already got cattled in. And so she didn't want to go over the bars to get there. And I said, well, look, babe, listen, why don't me and you go ride it? Look, we've waited on them. They can wait on us, and you can ride the carousel. She goes, okay, fine. And so we walk up. And so we go get in line. Finally, we get herded in, and we're standing there. We're at the front of the gate. So we're the first that's going to be able to go in. And I said, well, babe, I go, you let me know where you want to go. She goes, I've already picked my horse. I know which horse I want. And I said, okay, cool, you know. And so when the gate opened, she was off. And she got on her horse. And here's the picture right here of her on her horse. So she has the pretty white horse with the pink and the purple, and she's really happy. So when you're looking at this picture, what you're seeing and how you would interpret it is that she's close at the fun, and this is amazing, right? I want you to look very close at the picture and look at her lower back. Do you guys see that figure standing there? Okay, let me tell you what happened. So I take this picture, and there's the little figure off to the side, and there is a lady standing there, and she taps my wife on her leg, and Lori turns. This is right after this picture's taken, and she goes, "You're on the horse that my daughter wants. My daughter wants that horse. That's the horse that she's wanted. Can she please have that horse? That's the one horse she picked." So in the earlier service, somebody yelled, "No!" Lori actually told me later, she said, "I wanted so badly to look down at that mom and go, well, la-dee-da." But she was caught in a hard place, okay? Because there's this mom standing there with her smaller daughter, and Lori's like, "Well, if I say no, then I look like..." So she just got off, and she wasn't doing it gracefully. Let's just put it that way. She got off the horse, walked around me, and got on the horse to the left of me. And here is the second picture. I made that picture from a video, and literally where I make this picture, right after that, she says, "Stop filming me." Okay, so guys, listen. The second picture actually speaks to the reality of the situation. The first picture is showing everything's awesome, but the second one is like, this is not what I was looking to or what I was intending. Now, guys, look at this. She didn't get to ride with Chase and Sky. She's not on the horse she picked. She's greatly annoyed, and she didn't want me filming her anymore. That is the reality of what you're seeing right there. I love having the mic sometimes. I just got to say it. Joshua is sending two spies into the land, and it says in Scripture, and especially to go check out Jericho. Question: he was expecting a report and will want two questions answered. And here's the first question. He's going to want to know, what exactly did you see? The second thing he's going to want to know is, what exactly did you learn? Now, the picture of Lori only tells a brief moment of what really happened. But understand this, and I've talked about this before, being there makes all the difference. If we're going to go take the land, if we're really going to be this church that's moving into the next level of what God, it's going to be important to be there. Let me say this to all of us that are in this room and online. God wants you to be present. He wants you to be ready. He wants you to go. He wants you to open your eyes, to open your heart, to get moving, and to act on the vision. Let's go back to the scripture in Joshua 2, 1 and 2. "Go look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. Now here's a couple things to know. Just to know this. The Jordan during harvest time or during the flood season is no joke. I've been in Israel when this part of the season is going on, and the river gets wider and deeper, and it's rushing. It's intimidating when you see it happening. The river drops from Galilee, from the Sea of Galilee, going down to the Dead Sea. It's going to drop down over 1,300 feet below sea level. So it's moving downhill. The current is strong, and the current is fast. It will get up to 35 yards wide and will be up to 15 to 20 feet deep. So you're not going to just walk across the river. You're going to have to actually swim it, and it's not going to be an easy swim. Todd Bolan, who is a professor of biblical studies at Masters University, he's a professor of biblical archaeology. He quoted this, and it came out of back in 1854. You guys check, make it across. In 1854, during the harvest season, an expert swimmer was unable to make it across the river, the Jordan River, near Jericho because the river was too wide and the current was too strong. So how did the two spies make it across the Jordan going and coming back? I don't know, but I know this. Those dudes could swim. They knew exactly what they were doing in the water, and then it was off to the land of Jericho. Once they come out of the water, it's 7 to 8 miles to Jericho. Now, here's the other thing that I want you to understand. The Israelites can see Jericho. It's not like it was so far away that they didn't know where the city is. You can go to Israel today, get on the other side of Jericho, and look, and you can see to where the walls would have been, the city of this. It was huge. So in Joshua 2:2, let's look at it again. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. Here's some more info. Rahab lived in Jericho. Rahab, in fact, what we know in Scripture is that she lived in the city walls. Joshua 2:15, look at this. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. A lot of theologians believe that actually her room or her home was at the top of the wall, because the Scriptures talks about her going up to the roof to talk to the spies where they were hiding. That there was no doubt that what the spies were being asked to do, guys, this is the whole thing. We have to understand this. Everything that they were doing, it was not easy. Which is going to lead me to my first thought regarding the story of the two spies and Rahab. The first one is this. A God plan may not be easy, but it is always fulfilling. It will always bring fulfillment. Let me define fulfillment. It is the achievement of something desired, promised, or predicted. God's plans, how many of you guys understand and agree with me this? They're not always easy. Okay? I just wanted to tell pastoring, back in 2005, I was associate pastoring at a church in San Leandro, California. I was a major part of the worship team. I was the worship leader there, and me and a group of musicians got together, and we wrote about 12 songs that would ultimately go on a CD that we wrote for the actual church, and had worked with some amazing talent. It was a great venture. It was a lot of fun. That CD you can actually even find on iTunes still to this day. But what happened was, in 2006, I mailed some of those off to some friends that were in Europe and in Israel. So, some time had passed. I think it was March of 2006, and I get a letter from the producer of this festival in Poland called the Song of Songs Festival, Music Festival. And they were asking me to come out and be a part of that festival. And they were going to pay our tickets, the whole thing, and all. And I was like, yes, okay, we're going to go. But in May, I had to have my left ankle scoped. I had had some injuries in basketball, and so they went in and took out some chips out of my ankle and all this. Well, the timeline was kind of coming up, and the week that I was supposed to get on the plane, the doctor says, you're clear to go, and they put me in this boot. So I have really no stability, but I'm going to this festival, and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And so we get on the plane, we fly to Poland, we land in Warsaw. They have a driver there waiting for us and an assistant, personal assistant. For me, my cousin Kim, who was married to my cousin Tim, and another one of my cousins. So we get into the car, we go to McDonald's. They get us some food because we have a 3.5-hour drive to Torun, Poland, to where the concert's going to take place. So we have our McDonald's and we get in, we're buckling it up, and the guy looks at me and goes, guys, would you like to listen to some good American music? And I said, yeah, sure. I'd love to listen to some good American music, And guys, he pushes in the CD, and here comes Boy George and the Culture Club. Do you really want to hurt me? Time. I'll tell over for you. Karma, chameleon. Over and over for over 2 hours. And I finally figured out that if I would go to sleep, I could escape the madness. So we get there, my ankle, is what it is. We get into our room, and immediately they say we got to go to rehearsal. We go and find out, guys, listen to this. We have no clue what's going on. They have an entire band waiting on us that knew all of our music, everything. So we get there, and the name of the band was Mateo. They were huge in Poland, and this whole thing, and I'm thinking, I'm in Poland? The band's name is Mateo? And I'm Matt in Spanish? I'm Matthew? Mateo? And I'm singing with Mateo? It was really cool. and we're learning these songs, and then they let me know that night I'm singing in front of 35,000 people on a television spot, and then the next night I am the headliner for the worship night. Guys, I'm just telling you right now, I even before I sang, I could have died and went to heaven. Is everybody with me on this? So we get there, everything goes good, and put these pictures up. Here we are in Poland, and at the concert and this whole thing. I tried to get the video in time to be able to put part of the video up. I didn't get it until last night, but here was our time there. So guys, it was amazing. The television spot went great. The worship night the next night went amazing. And I go to my hotel room. We're flying out of Poland the next day. And I get to my room, and my ankle now is about two times the size of what it was. And I'll be honest, a couple of Vicodin. I take some ibuprofen, and I go to sleep. Well, the Vicodin caused me to oversleep. I was supposed to be down at the lobby, and we were going to catch this taxi that we got to take 3.5 hours back to Warsaw. And somebody knocks on my door, and I open the door, and he goes, "Dude, we're leaving in 10 minutes. The taxi's almost here." And guys, so I'm hobbling around trying to get down there and the whole thing. And I get into the taxi. We get on the plane. We're about 2 hours into the flight. And then all of a sudden, now my ankle is three times the size of what it was supposed to. In fact, in order to see holes where they scoped, the stitches had popped. And so I'm sitting there, and the stewardess to see the problem. You know, I'm bleeding, and they take me up to business class. They put some ice on my ankle, and I'm not up there enjoying business class. I'm in pain. And they finally put me on the floor of the plane and put my feet up on this chair, and I'm sitting there. Now, guys, listen. When I walked off the stage that night of doing the worship night, I remember saying these words to God. I said, "God, if I never get to lead worship ever again, I was fulfilled tonight." I'm in it. But I'm on the plane now, and I'm going, "God, why did you send me to Poland? You know, like, why did I choose to say yes?" You know, I'm all of a sudden, I'm on the other side of the spectrum. I land in Chicago. My plane were late landing, so the plane is leaving in 45 minutes. I can't hobble down there. They don't have a wheelchair for me. So my friends, my cousins, have to leave me in Chicago alone without my bags, and I'm throwing a fit. I'm upset. They take me to the little airport hospital. I'm in there. They're icing it. They're trying to arrange everything for me. And I'm sitting there. And guess what I'm doing, guys? I'm pouting. I'm throwing a fit. How did this happen, God? Why would you let this, you know? And I'm giving it to them, you know, and this whole thing. And I go home. I get home to my wife. I'm settling down. And, guys, I get an email. And it's from the president of the production of the Song of Songs Festival. And he begins to tell me how many people that night got saved. How many people got filled with the Holy Spirit, the change of what he saw in that crowd and the momentum that changed and flipped in that festival. And guys, let me just say it to you this way. It wasn't the easiest thing. It wasn't the easiest trip, but it was fulfilling. God doesn't promise that everything's just going to go smooth and easy all the time, but he does promise that if you'll say yes and go into it, it will fulfill you. Amen. Come on, give me an amen on that. So guys, check this out. Psalms 57:2 says, "I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me." You see, the two spies, yes to, what they said yes to was crossing the Jordan twice. They said yes to infiltrating the city of Jericho, the most fortified, the most feared city in the land. They said yes to it. Guys, do y'all remember VeggieTales? Okay, guys, do y'all remember this episode here and the Jericho, whatever, you know, the French peas and all this? Guys, listen, this is not what the spies said yes to. They didn't go up to see French peas throwing Slurpees down on them. This was Jericho. They said yes to Rahab, that they would go actually in her home, that they would go in her business, that they would have to trust her. They said yes to hiding on her roof under stalks of flax, to eventually having to escape the city and then hiding in the hills for 3 days until their pursuers stopped looking for them. But to be able to return to Joshua with a report, and guys, not just a report, but a good report. Some of us in this room right now need a good report. Amen? And guys, some of us in this room need to be reminded who we serve and who is actually telling us to go. God never gets it wrong. It might not be easy, but you will be fulfilled. Everything that was promised, everything that you have desired, every detail of your days, God cares. He has a plan. And even when all hope seems lost, remember. Guys, why don't you just elbow the person next to you and say remember to them, if you know them. If you don't know them, don't do it. Guys, remember, In Romans 4:17, it says it this way: He is the one who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the God that we serve. Think about the story of Abraham. I said this morning, I wish Lori was kind of sharing this part because she tells an amazing message on Abraham. But guys, here's what you got to know about Abraham. It was not easy. He had no home, no land. He faced famine. He had to escape eventually to Egypt. And then he's traveled hundreds, if not thousands of miles, and he has no children. But yet, Abraham is to be the father of many nations. This is the God that we serve. He speaks things into existence. Amen? Guys, listen, nothing was going to stop God's plan for Abraham. Nothing was going to stop it from being fulfilled. In the books of Psalm, Job, and Daniel, it speaks to this God that we serve. He does whatever he pleases. That nothing and no one can upset your plans. In Daniel 4:35, that no one can hold back his hand. And I would say this to you, to be revived, be encouraged. It may not always be easy, but God is fulfilling his purpose in you. Which leads me to this second thought on the two spies and Rahab. God sees potential in everyone. God sees potential in everyone. Joshua 2:2, let's look at it again. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. I want to define prostitution for you. Okay, so when you think about a prostitute or you think about prostitution, there's really a definition that kind of comes to mind. It's a he or she that exchanges sex for payment or for money, okay? That's normally where we go in our heads when we think about prostitution or a prostitute. But I want you to listen to the deeper definition of what it is to be under the definition of prostitute. Check this out. To devote to corrupt or unworthy purposes. A person who deliberately debases his or her talents. To cheapen, to degrade, demoralize, or even poison. Or how about this one? To warp. You guys remember the cars in the 60s, 70s, and 80s? When it got too hot and cold, what would happen? Dashboard? It'd warp. It'd crack. It'd pop. And they'd even actually, you go to AutoZone, and they'd give you a felt thing that you could put over your dashboard so you didn't have to think about the crack in your dashboard anymore. You know what I mean? But that's what would happen. And I think about us, that if we're falling under this definition of that we're choosing, devoting ourselves to something that is unworthy of what God wants. Listen, don't go out of here saying, Pastor Matt just called us all a bunch of prostitutes. Because that's not what I'm saying. But if you're listening to the definition of this, to devote to corrupt or unworthy purposes, I don't want to be under that definition. You know, I don't want to deliberately choose to debase my talents that he has given me. Is everybody with me? And this is something we got to think about. In the Bible, Rahab is forever known as Rahab the prostitute. Even though what we know what God did with her in her life, she's forever known in the New Testament and the Old Testament as Rahab the prostitute. You've got Simon the leper. Simon the leper barely even shows up in Scripture. It's in the book of Matthew. He's there for like one Scripture. Talks about Simon the leper. And guys, here's the thing is theologians believe, well, he must have been a leper, and then he got healed, and then he had this feast where Jesus was at and this whole thing. But guys, just like that, he's forever tied into the Bible as Simon the leper. You see, the devil wants to try to keep you where you are. And here's the thing is that he wants to rename you. He wants you to be I've tried often to think about like friends that I had back in high school and junior high that don't know I'm a minister today, don't know where I am. They don't know what God's doing in my life. And if somebody asked them, do you remember Matt Stewart? You know what they're going to remember? They're going to remember what I used to be. Is everybody with me? And that's where the enemy wants you to be, never growing, never moving, never creating, never seeing what God sees, never hearing the potential of Yeshua, never, never, never meeting your God potential. The enemy wants to remind you what you did, what you said, or your hurt, that you're not worthy. You see, the enemy wants to constantly, Satan himself, wants to constantly remain in control of who you are. And this is not God's plan for your life. God sees potential in everyone. Can I get an amen? Let me give you some facts about Rahab. I want to encourage you. I want you to see what God did with this life. You see, God led the two spies to her. This was no coincidence. This wasn't a random meeting thing. It wasn't just like them walking through the gates and trying to figure out where they were going. God led them to this prostitute. The two spies stayed with her. They trusted her and vowed to protect her. Guys, Rahab is the only other woman besides Sarah mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 dealing with the heroes of faith. Come on. The prostitute. Rahab the prostitute. How about this one right here? Rahab's prominence is also displayed in Matthew 1, where she is one of two women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ himself. Rahab the prostitute is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Rahab was, everybody say was. She was a prostitute, but now she is a hero of the faith. Amen, come on. A reminder of God's mercy, that God sees potential in everyone. Hebrews 11:31 says, faith provided a way of escape for Rahab the prostitute, avoiding the destruction of the unbelievers because she received the Hebrew spies in peace. You see, in the city of Jericho, when anybody ever thought about Rahab, they thought about shame. Is everybody with me? That's what they thought about. You see, God saw a tender heart in a life-hardened woman. He saw it. He saw past it. There's a man named John Owen. He was back in the early 1600s, a theologian, a pastor of that time, and he said it this way: Rahab is a blessed example both of the sovereignty of God's grace and of its power, of its freedom and sovereignty, in the calling and conversion of a person given up through her choice to the vilest of sins. Nobody, no sin, should lead to despair when the cure of God's sovereign, almighty grace is engaged. You see, God saw in Rahab what no other person would have ever seen. God saw so much potential. I want you to capture this. Everybody, just listen to what I'm about to say here and try to visualize this. That the same body that was given over to that vile sin, that was suffered hurt, years of hurt and abuse and corruption, would be used to continue the line of Jesus. God gave me these words last night that I feel like I'm supposed to deliver. I delivered them into the first service because I don't know who this is for, but I feel like somebody needs to hear this morning. That God says that you are unique. That his opinion matters most above all things. Above the enemy and above the haters. And he put this on my heart that some of you know exactly what God's plan is for your life. And it hasn't been easy. But this is what he says to you. I need you to stand in agreement with me. And he also says this last thing. Don't put limits on me. Trust me. Don't put any limits on me, which leads me to my third and final thought on the two spies of Rahab. When we go together, we win together. Okay? When we go together, we win together. They're going to put this up here for you, the slide, and I want you guys to check this out. This is something that was done by the American Bible Bible Society. I want you to write down this web address, sotb.research.bible. And what they do is every year they do a survey and a study on the state of the Bible, dealing with all generations, all things that you could possibly think about the Bible. And if you'll go to this, they'll ask you a couple questions, and then you can download the ebook for free, okay? And I want you to check this out because it's important about what we're going to talk about. When we talk about when we go together, we win together. Here are some highlights regarding Generation Z. Now, how many of you are between the ages 9 and 24 in this room? You're Generation Z. Okay, so I'm going to be talking a little bit about your generation. That's my son, Ryder, and my daughter, Skye. They're still in this Generation Z. So here are some highlights. Barna Group also highlights a little bit, but this is coming from this, what you're going to read. So Generation Z, they found out in the study and in the survey that 68% of Generation Z are not Bible users. They also found out that because of this, that the definition of a Bible user, according to the study, is a person or a student that would reference their Bible 3 to 4 times a year. So that is their definition of a Bible user based on Generation Z, of a survey that they took nationwide of thousands and thousands of people, that you are known as a Bible user if you go to your Bible 3 or 4 times a year. How about this? 9% of Generation Z are Scripture engaged. That means that they look at Scripture. That means that they're reading Scripture, that they engage with it, that they rely on Scripture, and that the Scripture that they're reading actually has influence on their lives. So if 9% are engaged with Scripture, then how many are not? 91. 91, let that sink in. 91% of Generation Z are not Scripture engaged. During the COVID pandemic, they went a little further. They wanted to know, did people read or engage with Scripture more during the time of being quarantined and being stuck at home? And the survey showed that Bible reading and Bible engagement actually declined during the pandemic. When nothing was going on, that their Bible reading actually just disappeared. 33% of Generation Z see the Bible, the Quran, and the Book of Mormon as the same. And basically saying it this way, they are all different expressions of the same spiritual truths. So guys, God is telling us to go. But when I read something like this, and this is just one generation, we're not talking about everything else because we don't have the time to do this. But it's telling us and it's showing us the state of the Bible. God is telling us to go, but if this is the reality of our nation and our nation's young people, we're not ready to go anywhere. Because we're not being led. You see, church, Harvest, my friends who are here this morning, those that are online listening to this, guys, listen. Let's beat these statistics. Come on, church, listen to what I'm saying. Let's beat it. God is calling us to get ready to increase for revival, for salvations, and to take the land together. I think as a church that we can make a commitment, that we can make a decision to say that the Word of God is important to my life and that I can make the choice to be scripturally engaged. Amen? I would want us to be known as the church that is in the 91% instead of the 9. Come on. It's important for this. Guys, listen. And here's the other thing. And we're going to get into the scripture and kind of let you see how in the book of Joshua this even comes out. Guys, the word is getting out what's going on here in Harvest. I hope you understand this. And as pastors, we hear it through emails and Facebook messages and people that come and contact us that they're hearing what's going on. They're hearing about the healings. They're hearing about the Holy Spirit encounters, that people are getting saved. They're hearing about dedicating their lives. They're hearing of the revelations of Jesus Christ. They're hearing about the powerful worship and a worship that you can engage with, and that there is truly an awakening happening in this church. You see, when people visit Harvest, they are hearing about what God is doing and what He has done. So let's look at this in Joshua and see how this sounds familiar. Joshua chapter 2, starting with verse 8. Before the spies lay down for the night, Rahab, she went on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water. Guys, listen, they're in Jericho. They're nowhere near the Red Sea. But yet that town has already heard, Israelites haven't even come across the Jordan yet. But they have heard of the stories that have happened in the Red Sea. For you, when you came out of Egypt and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. What does it say? When we heard of it, Our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. I almost named this message because of you, or because of us, I'm sorry. But I didn't want everybody to think that I was saying we were doing this on our own, but it's because of us, of God working through us, amen? Of what God's doing. It's because of what God is doing through us that people are going to hear, that people are going to want to know, that people are going to want to get into a group, that people are going to want to get engaged. And this is what the scripture's talking about, that when we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven and above and on the earth below. Listen, we have heard of it. He's saying it because of you. When we are together, we win together. And because of what God is doing through us, people will know. The enemy and all plans of the enemy have no chance against the plans of our God. God wants to use all people. Everybody say all people. All of us. All people. All full of potential. Guys, let me just give you a little bit of, let's just go over some people in the Bible. And just see who God used, all right? This is who he used. Abraham was an old dude. Jacob was insecure. Leah was unattractive. Joseph was abused and forgotten. Moses stuttered. Gideon questioned God's plan for him over and over and over. Rahab was the city prostitute. David had an affair and many other troubles. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. John the Baptist was the town crazy. Peter was impulsive and had a horrible temper. The Samaritan woman had several failed marriages. Zacchaeus was hated. Thomas had doubts. And Saul, who became Paul, all he wanted to do was wipe off every believer off the map. He wanted them gone. But yet God used every one of them. Can I get an amen? All were used for God to further his kingdom. When we go together, we win together. Arm in arm, we will take this land. In community and fellowship, in all plans, this is the scripture we just read, all plans of the enemy will melt away. They have to go in the name of Jesus. So I want to bring this to a close, and let's have the worship team come on up. Let's just give our worship team a hand. Love these guys, man. They just did an amazing job. I would say this, as they get ready to start playing, there could be some of us in this room that are saying, you know, Pastor Matt, I just don't know how God can use me. And I know what you're thinking, and I know why, because you're thinking about your past, you're thinking about circumstances, you're thinking about maybe how you've been hurt in the past, or that you're feeling underqualified. Rick Warren, the pastor of Saddleback Church in California, he says it this way, that every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Man, isn't that good? Guys, read this. Let that get embedded into your mindset, because all of us have a past. But thank the Lord, because of what he's doing through us, we all have a future in him. Amen? You see, Rahab the prostitute, you guys check this out. She went from prostitute to provider and protector of the spies. She went from a poisoned life to being filled with purpose. And she went from pagan to professing her love to the one true God. Look at this in scripture, Joshua 2:11. When we heard of it, our hearts melted. This is Rahab talking. In fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. And here it is. Here's the profession. For the Lord your God is God. For the Lord our God is God. He is the one true God, Elohim, Yahweh, Yeshua HaMashiach, your God, our God, my God, all of us together taking the land. He is the one true God. And here she is professing it, that in heaven above and then on earth below, he is God. That no matter how others might have viewed Rahab, God spoke to her potential. You know, I coached for 15 years in basketball, high school basketball in California. And guys, I'm going to tell you something. I had coaches in my life that spoke to the potential in me, and that's exactly what I tried to do to every one of the boys that I coached. And here is God now, all of us sitting in this room, hearing the same word, the same text that is being read. And I'm telling you, if you're listening, he's speaking to your potential. Joshua 6, the walls are coming down. The Israelites are going in to take the city. And what does Joshua do? He honors what he said he would do. He said, go and get Rahab, all her family, and all those who belong to her. And they were saved. You see, in Joshua 2, the takeaway from the story that we've read today is this. They were unified. The Israelites had vision. They had purpose. They were called. Rahab even herself didn't settle. And she had faith. And I believe that God wants the same for us, that Harvest Assembly, that we would be known as a people being unified, full of vision, full of purpose, called, that we would want God's best, that we would be known as a people of faith, that we are moving, that we are scouting, that we are reporting, and that we are taking the land together. Look at these 3 points one more time. A God plan may not be easy, but it always brings fulfillment. God sees potential in everyone. Sean Smith on last Sunday, 14 people, you guys, came to Jesus. It's an amazing thing that when we go together, we win together. We start grouping up. We start capturing the vision. We start feeling the purpose that God's calling us, and we will win together. Can I get an amen? Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise for his word this morning. Just his scriptures. Praise God. We're gonna